Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 4th of February, recording at 9:18 p.m., and that's Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights here today, and they're pretty dramatic, with the one exception of the Asian stock markets, which were mostly a little lower. But we had big declines in the European stock markets, up to nearly 6% by the Spanish IBEX index. And this is related to the sovereign debt concerns. Now, Wall Street was hit hard. The S&P is down over 3%. The NASDAQ almost as much. Brazil down 4.73%. So there's really been heavy selling in equities here today. And in long-term government bonds, as you'd expect against that background, they've been quite strong, and not perhaps as strong in the U.S. Treasuries as you might accept, with Nassim Taleb saying that everybody should short U.S. Treasuries. Well, I hope they didn't follow that advice today. Because the 30-year bond future is up 1.5%. And let's see, precious metals slaughtered in here today. Silver's down just over $1. Gold was down 50 at one stage. It's currently down $46.50. And platinum down 71, brings it back to 1505. Palladium down 27. Crude oil hit hard, down almost $4. It's back to 73.04. You get the picture. The industrial metals were all quite weak again today, and we have mostly seen selling in other commodities, although I noticed the grains and beans are up a little bit. Okay, so what's going on here? Well, we're having a bit of a panic in here, as you can see. In stock markets, the Asian markets did not succumb today, but really, after falling off their highs fairly sharply last month, they've just been barely steady, and so I would expect a number of them to weaken tomorrow morning against this background. The most interesting one to watch is China, which had that upside key day reversal a couple of days ago. It was just down a fraction in here today. But China's already fallen quite a long way on supply. I maintain that that's been the real problem. I've been mentioning it for months, that it was the IPOs that concerned me about China, not so much the very gradualist monetary tightening that has occurred, which has mostly been in the form of reserve ratio requirements at banks. But it's interesting, what we've seen today, I saw an article in the Financial Times, I may post it tomorrow, just saying China clamps down on share raisings, so they're going to cut back on the number of IPOs, and they're doing that. The stated reason they're doing that is because they don't want companies that are getting into, well, they don't want companies floating new issues to pay down debt and then borrowing more debt quite possibly, assuming that companies would actually be doing that. No doubt some would, and sensible ones wouldn't. But I feel that there's another factor in here, and that is that I don't think China is interested in seeing the stock market slide that much further. Now, what could it do about it? Well, not a lot. If the economy was quite weak, perhaps, but the economy is booming, as you know, and yet the stock market has been underperforming here, and what China certainly can do in restricting the supply, and they've done this before, is to remove a lot of that overhanging weight and allowing the market stable. Well, we'll see if China can buck the trend that we're actually seeing in the rest of the world stock markets right now, and that's a big ask in this environment, which certainly looks a little bit panicky today. It's taken stock market indices closer to those 200-day moving averages and those that had already reached them a little bit to below those rising MAs, which represent the trend means in my view. So the technical action is still bearish. All the best that can be said is that we have short-term oversold conditions. So the trouble is markets can stay short-term oversold for quite some time, as you know. And also, stock markets have pulled back to some underlying trading support, potential support levels, in addition to the rising 200-day moving averages. But when you get markets that are this weak, it creates that, for somebody to go in and buy, it requires a fair amount of nerve. It feels like an attempt to catch a falling knife. Or how should one do it? If people do buy in here, then it should be incrementally. Now, my own view, which I've stated for a good many months, was that reversions to the mean in terms of the rising 200-day moving average would be buying opportunities. Now, this is now happening for a lot of stock markets. Is it a buying opportunity? Well, I think yes, but I'm going to hedge my bet here in the sense that the action has been sufficiently dramatic that raises the possibility that we will see a better buying opportunity at a lower level. Go back to what Jeremy Grantham, who said little in his last quarterly report in terms of forecasting on the markets, unusual for him, but he did indicate that if stock markets went up, he would be lightening positions, and if stock markets came down, he would probably be buying. Now, so what I'm trying to say here is that I do feel that for long-term investors that this is a better buying opportunity than a selling opportunity. Something I've also said over the last many months is that if people want to sell, if they're nervous about markets, the time to do that is when prices are pushing ahead quite strongly, not when we're getting mean reversion towards the 200-day moving averages, as we actually see today. Now, a number of you have some high beta instruments in your portfolio, as I do. I'm thinking of miners. I'm thinking of a lot of these emerging markets. They go down faster than everything else during the bad times, just as they go up faster than everything else during the good times. It's not because their fundamentals are changing necessarily. I don't think their fundamentals are changing at all. They didn't change that much following the meltdown in 2008 and the not quite global recession that caused, but it certainly caused a big OECD recession. you saw how quickly those high beta, fuller money theme emerging markets recovered, how quickly they recovered and how substantially they recovered. But they do fall sharply when we get the panicky periods in markets, because people will sell them if only because they've got good profits there and they can sell them. I'm incidentally not selling any of my my long-term core unleveraged core holdings, I might. Will I increase them? I might, but I'm not starting to do so just yet. Partly because I don't have any more cash that I wish to allocate towards equity markets at this time. Now, sign of the times, my best performing asset at the moment is the one that I have been most concerned about, ironically, over the last several months. And subscribers may remember that I maintain what is for me a substantial cash reserve, and I manage that cash reserve in currencies. That's a relatively new strategy in recent years, and I held it in New Zealand dollars for quite some time, getting the yield and also the appreciation. But when sterling fell down to a new all-time low at 2.2 against the Kiwi, I moved the money out of New Zealand dollars and back into sterling. Well, it's not a whole lot higher than that level at this stage, but it is higher, and sterling was rallying against the reserve, I beg your pardon, the resources currencies in here today, as in a paler version of what the US dollar was doing. So what we're seeing right now is a very mini version of what occurred during 2008, and I think it will remain a very mini version of what we saw then, because I don't think that there's a massive, huge ticking time bomb about to explode in the banks. We know that story. That doesn't mean that there aren't still derivative problems out there, but the risks, I would argue, in that respect are lower today than they were. Is there a risk that the U.S. economy can slide back into recession? Of course there is. But that's been a known risk for really quite some time. And I would also say we don't have other parallels that don't apply. We don't have crude oil pushing up to $147, and I've maintained for a long time that contributed as much to the meltdown in stock markets and the global recession as the U.S.-centered banking crisis. And we don't have commodity price inflation elsewhere that central banks are trying to fight. We don't have it in foods, sugar excepted, which is nowhere near as important. Everybody uses it, but it's nowhere near as important as the grains and beans, for instance. So we don't have the background, in my opinion, for more than a squall, which is nasty and feels significant when you live through it, a selling squall, but is, I feel quite certain, going to be no more than a very mini version of what we saw in 2008. But I see no evidence that it's ended, and therefore we're in an environment where commodities are under pressure, stock markets are under pressure, and the dollar goes up against pretty well every other currency, and we get the so-called flight to currency, I beg your pardon, the so-called flight to safety, with people putting more money in the U.S. dollar and selling some of the currencies that they had been holding for some time, such as the resources currencies. It's a funny old world, isn't it? And on that note, roll on tomorrow. It'll probably be dramatic, but hopefully not quite so dramatic as today has been. Meanwhile, all the best. If you're in the markets, I hope you stay reasonably safe.